Today on Real Radio.
I know that, you know, many of us were raised or brought up to think that if you were super great and super holy, you would eventually possibly be put up for consideration as a saint. And you might get a saint status and you might become someone. Now listen, what does the Bible teach about becoming a saint? What is the doctrine of the believer? Romans chapter 1 tells us that we are saints if we believe in God and trust in Him. We are called saints. Saints to those who are at Rome. Saints to those who are at Colossae. Saints to those who are at Galatia. A saint is a believer who has come to faith in Christ. Isn't that amazing?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always. My days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a series within a series called The Christian in Complete Armor. Our focus will be on verse 13, though we'll also take into account its surrounding context in this presentation called Equipped for the War. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The enemy is to have this attack going against us because he's under orders. We are under orders now. The Bible tells us to take up the armor of God. And as we put it on, we are to keep it on. We are to stay equipped. We are to stay prepared for war. And so this word to take up is an interesting thing because it simply means to receive it. God puts it out there, and what's our responsibility? To receive it. Well, what part of it? What does it say in your Bible? Therefore, take up some of the armor of God and get shot right in the heart. Therefore, take some of the armor and get shot right in the head, eye, anywhere. Interesting, Rome never equipped their soldiers with armament in the rear. Your hinder parts were wide open, buddy, because Rome taught their soldiers to never turn your back. You die before you turn your back. And so they naturally left them uncovered in the rear. You don't turn and run. To be having the armor of God is to be covered in God and covered in His protection and covered in His power, because we are to what? Advance. And if we are not advancing, now there comes a time when we stand still, and we'll come to this in a moment. That's okay. In fact, sometimes we're commanded to stand still. We are either standing still or we are advancing. But if we are sliding back, we are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. We'll come to this in a little bit. That's how we backslide, and that's how often when we backslide, we get further away from God, because then we're exposed to the enemy's fiery darts. But the fact of the matter is Satan is against us. And I love how Paul is doing this, because he's taken the Roman centurion illustration before him, and also he's writing the letter to who? The church at Ephesus. The Ephesians. And it's interesting to note that the gods that were worshipped at the city of Ephesus and in that region, they taught and they believed that if you appeased the various gods that they worshipped at Ephesus, that He would reward the worshiper with armament. Isn't that interesting? I found that interesting when I read that. So Paul, being culturally sensitive and also looking at the illustration next to him, writes this wonderful thing that we are to be girded about and strengthened and put in upon the armor of God. And at the same time, the church at Ephesians would have received this letter knowing that they had come out of a pagan world that taught that if you followed the pagan gods, they would equip you in defense of this life. And what Paul is saying is that when you follow the God of heaven, you will be equipped with all of the implements of war necessary for victory. And I thought that was a brilliant stroke, and of course the work of the Holy Spirit in Paul's life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet the hope of our salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath," and that word wrath is judgment and destruction, "but has positioned us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we are wearing our armament as Christians tonight because we have salvation as a goal. We have victory in mind. We're not going to lose. The church will succeed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 7, it says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." That is the gift that God's giving, or the implements of war in this context that God is giving. God is giving out the armament. Paul says to the church at Corinth, don't receive it in vain. We're to take it up. And verse 7 says, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, and by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left." So we're fully equipped as believers. We're equipped for the war. I want you to see that we are not to leave anything undone. We shouldn't leave a thing undone. When he says the whole armor of God, he means every bit of armor. The word "whole" in the Greek is where we get the word plethora, a great amount, an amount that circles us completely. The armament of God that is available to us tonight will cover us completely for every bit of warfare that is to come into our lives. Now, can you imagine? Think for a minute. You're going to go and take your soldiers into battle, and you know that your enemy has got cannons, and you've got your guys there, and you give them pea shooters. And you give them, but you're not altogether heartless, you give them a full bag of hardened peas. And you say, you know, you guys go out there and you just let it rip, you know, go. You know, blow those peas like you've never blown before. Well, you know, I don't know if I'd want to be in that army. I would invoke what Jesus encouraged, that if you didn't think you could win the war, you would send a delegation to seek means of peace. But if you've got a pea shooter and they've got cannons, you're sending your people to destruction, to absolute annihilation. They're going to be annihilated. God will not do that. Now listen, the world, and maybe Christians, maybe we're all unnecessarily too afraid of the devil and his demons and of darkness, in light of the fact that God has given us incredible power to not wage the war with the enemy at parity, equal, but to wage the war with the enemy in absolute destruction of the enemy, complete victory. We've got all this armament of God. I hope we do. I mean, he did say, therefore, take it up. Put it on. So we're all suited up, aren't we? We need to then go, not like Don Knotts. Remember Andy Mayberry? You know, Don Knotts is a perfect example of the Christian before he's Spirit-filled, in my opinion. He knows he's got Mayberry behind him. He's got the badge on. He's got his credentials. He's got the suit. He's got the blue stripe down each side. He's got a gun. And he's got a siren. He's got a red light on the car. He's got everything everybody else has got. He's got everything Andy's got. But the car pulls up, and what happens? He gets out, he's got this gun. Look out! I'll get him, Andy! You know, watch out! And he's just like this noodle with a hat on. And he's pathetic. And it's comical. And you just go, you know. In fact, even in the show, the villains would like laugh. And who's this guy? We've got all the power behind us. And we can have all of the armaments. We can have the helmet on and we can have everything around us. And if we don't have the heart of understanding that we know that God has given us the battle, we're defeated before we get out of the block. And we're just like Barney. And I hope you don't forget that. That's a pretty powerful picture in my mind anyway of an anemic Christian. You know, Satan goes, boo! And, you know, Barney loses it. So we are to take up the whole armor of God, and the whole armor is every bit of armament necessary for we, the believer, to succeed. We're to put it all on. And we do that by immersing ourselves in the doctrine of God. You might be asking the question, well, then how do I get the armor on? How do I put it on? Listen, Christian, listen carefully. All of us, the answer is knowing the doctrine of God. And you might say, well, what does doctrine mean? This simply means teachings of God's word. We are to know this book. We are to be so knowledgeable of the word. We are to be reading it. Now listen, I don't want to come down in such a way that, you know, I'm telling you to create some reading program. And, you know, if that works for you, great. But I want to encourage you to be in the Word of God because you get to be in the Word of God. Don't be in the Word of God because you have to be in the Word of God. Be in it because you get to. And know this, it's a wonderful investment. It's a wonderful thing. When you read it, you should be liberated. Oh man, I'm going to get some strength today, man. I'm going to read the Word because I'm going to get some power today. And to know God's doctrine is to be immersed in God's teaching, and to know that is to have victory. You've got the armament. Now you and I need the heart. And the heart governs how we use the armament of God. We're to know doctrine. And what I mean by that is this. Concerning doctrine, concerning the nature of God, what do you know of Him? What is your concept of Him? To get a little bit more close or personal to your heart and to your logic and to see if our logic and our thinking is correct, what do you think concerning the Holy Spirit? What do you think concerning Jesus? What do you think concerning the Father? If your definition is greatly different one from another, then you don't understand the doctrine of God's nature. Because if you study each of the individuals of the personage of God, you'll see that they're exactly the same. What do you know concerning the doctrine of justification? What do we know about the doctrine of sanctification or of prophetic events or holiness? You see, you mentioned the word holiness, and most of us, until we learn the doctrine of God, we hear the pastor from a flaming pulpit pounding, stating, "Be holy." But if you know doctrine, you smile and you say, "That's cool, that's right, I'm holy." Because when Peter said, and when the Old Testament prophet said, "Be holy, for I am holy," says the Lord, the whole meaning is, be holy because I'm holy. You can be holy, God says, because I'm holy. Hey, you want to be holy? Yeah. Then give your life to me, and I'll stamp you holy. You know, some get in this weird, well, I got to dye all my clothes black, and if I'm a woman, got to wear my hair in a bun and put on no makeup because I'm going to be holy. And if a man, I'm going to wear a tie even to bed because I'm going to be holy. And I'm not going to go to any movies anymore because I'm going to be holy. And you know what that breeds, don't you? A little self-righteous stinker is what it breeds, because what happens is, well, God, bless me this week. I've been holy. I wore my tie, or I kept my hair back in a bun. Didn't put up any makeup this week, God, so now you got to bless me. Oh, no. Concerning the doctrine of God's holiness, God is holy. Those who give their hearts to Jesus Christ become holy. In fact, I know that, you know, many of us were raised or brought up to think that if you were super great and super holy, you would eventually possibly be put up for consideration as a saint. And you might get a saint status, and you might become someone. Now listen, what does the Bible teach about becoming a saint? What is the doctrine of the believer? Romans chapter 1 tells us that we are saints if we believe in God and trust in Him. We are called saints. Saints to those who are at Rome. Saints to those who are at Colossae. Saints to those who are at Galatia. A saint is a believer who has come to faith in Christ. Isn't that amazing? So you're Saint Betty tonight. God says so. You're Saint John. That sounds so nice. Saint Elizabeth, Saint John. Mine's Saint Jack. Sounds like some kind of a gangster movie something. Saint Jack. Sounds like I should be riding a Harley, huh? That is my name, though. I can't change it, but it's the way it is. Saint Jack. God likes it. God likes it. He likes it. He thinks it's fine. By the way, this is just free. I didn't have it in the notes. I just thought I'd throw it out tonight. The word saint in Greek is hagios, and it's H-A-G-I-O-S. And if you remove the I out of hagios in Greek, it means damned or condemned thing. A damned or condemned thing. And if you put an I right in the middle of hagios, it becomes hagios, a saint. Jesus says, I am. Isn't that interesting? When He comes inside of us, He calls us holy. He puts a big I, and thank God it's His and not mine. Isn't that wonderful? And so we come out of that corner as a soldier of the cross, equipped. Because our God rules and our God reigns and our God is all powerful. We come out of the corner dressed in complete armor. And I'm telling you, the attitude that we should have is not with pride and not with arrogance, but with confidence. We should come out of the corner and say, all right, I'm going to pray today, or I'm going to go be an usher, or I'm going to go teach this message, or I'm going to go do whatever. And Lord, I'm going to do it to Your glory. I'm equipped in Your warfare armament and Your clothing, and I'm going to wage a war in this life today for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I'm committing my life into Your hands. And if the enemy comes knocking, Lord, give me the wisdom to recognize him, and Lord, keep me in my battle gear. See, sometimes I jump right out of my armament. Keep me right in it. And listen, Christian, this is not bragging. This is our confidence in Christ. We can leave this place tonight and go forward knowing that God is surrounding us. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that I'll go before you and I'll go behind you. I will be your encampment. The Lord says I'll be all around you to defend you. You know that's still true. He's defending us. Do we believe it? Will we walk like it tomorrow? The enemy's there to trip us up, but we don't have to trip. The Lord is with us. We are equipped for the war. Another thing I want you to see is that we can be confident in our captain, Jesus Christ being the captain of our souls, the bishop of our souls, says the Bible. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God here, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That we may be able to withstand in the evil day. In Psalm 121, verse 2, the Bible says, my help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. That's a beautiful psalm to remember for battle. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Isn't that great? He's our strength. I don't know if you were here when Gershon Solomon spoke a while back. By the way, he'll be here, I think. I think he'll be here in a couple weeks, actually, to speak to us, I think, on a Wednesday night even. And Gershon Solomon was talking about when he was in the 1967 war, how he was run over by a tank in Israel, and how he was left there bleeding and left for dead, and the angels came around him, and he saw them in Israel there, in the Golan Heights. He saw angels. And remember when the Arab soldiers came and they pointed their guns at him to kill him? And then they all saw, their eyes got big and dropped their weapons and ran. And Gershon Solomon fainted. And later he woke up out of a coma. I think it was in Denmark or Amsterdam or somewhere where he was recovering. And they had a United Nations group there to interview him, to take questions, because it was a very strange event. Eyewitnesses saw Arab soldiers there in that June war of 1967. They were watching and waiting for them to kill Gershon Solomon. And witnesses saw all of these soldiers throw down their weapons and run away in absolute fright. And so the UN authorities asked Gershon Solomon, you know, were you aware that these men were going to kill you? And he said, yeah, because I thought I was going to die, you know, just in the moment. And they told him, they said, you might find it interesting that the Arab soldiers that were interviewed, we've been able to catch up with them, they were interviewed, and they said that they saw angels surrounding you in that battlefield, and they ran. Now, if God would give us eyes to see in the spirit realm, for the Christian tonight, there's a great light of power around the believer. The Bible tells us there are at least one angel that has been assigned to your welfare all the days of your life. That's found in Matthew's gospel and in the book of Hebrews. In fact, it's also stated that our angel, it speaks of our angel that watches over us. Some people call them our guardian angel. Some of us need two or more, you know, you'd think. That they represent our faces before the throne of God. Isn't that interesting? And these forces of darkness that are against us, hey, we don't have to worry about them. We've given our hearts to Christ. There's an angelic power around us, and that's comforting. But don't you like to side with Moses on this one, when Moses said, hey, angels are cool, God. Thank you very much. They're nice. But I'm not going anywhere unless you personally go with us. I like that. I don't want 10 angels. I want God. I want the creator of the angels. I want God himself. The Bible tells us that Jesus, he says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And that is comforting news. The Bible tells us here in verse 13 that we may be able. This is not the kind of able or enablement that, well, I hope so. Maybe someday you'll grow up and you can be able. No, that's not what it means. It's more positive than that. The word be able is actually God has made it possible. And it's an ongoing basis. The strength that God gives us continues. So it would maybe read better for us right now that we are now and continuing on in the position to withstand. We are very able. We are now withstanding against the enemy. And this word withstand means to stand hard against, to oppose, or to resist.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Equipped for the War. It's part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 and, of course, other passages called The Christian in Complete Armor. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer, which is precisely why we offer a variety of outreaches, missions, and means of equipping, like the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. If you were here for the conference, you know that it was beyond standing room only much of the time. If you were not here, visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get the media and print materials from the event, the Southern California Prophecy Conference, subtitled Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. Again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.